The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You are witnesses of these things. I was down at the Holy Trinity Gala last night, trying to raise another $400,000 so they can open their church. And, you know, I made my small contribution in an auction item, etc. Several people that come to church here were asking me for a preview of today's homily in one word or less. I'm like, one word? How could you sum a whole homily down to one word? Well, it's pretty easy today, isn't it? We hear it in the first reading, and we hear it in the end of the gospel, witness. What does it mean to be a witness to the faith? What does it mean to be a witness to the resurrection of Christ? What does it mean to be a witness? There are kind of two ways of understanding witness in today's language, right? I've seen something happen. That's a witness. Like, we witnessed the accident at the corner. But until someone asks us about that, it's pretty much a personal experience. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Or it's not what's being talked about in the first reading, is it? They're not talking about a personal experience witness. They're talking about taking that and telling others what you've seen. More of the witness called to testify at a trial. To give testimony, to give witness, means I've seen something that you haven't and I need to share that with you. Well, how do we do that? And I'm not advocating you go door to door with your Bible and tell everybody about Jesus. That would be really cool, though. What I am advocating is that what you know of how God works, no one else knows. Now think about that. God works uniquely and specifically in your life. God works uniquely and specifically in my life. But by sharing those stories, we get a better picture of how God is working in the human family. God calls us to each our own unique way of living out the faith. Right? If you study the lives of the saints, and one of my favorite things to read are the lives of the saints, and even if you read all of the Benedictine saints, Every one of them is different, although they've all been formed by the rule of Benedict. Men and women, as monks, are all absolutely different from each other in their life of faith. But they give witness to the resurrected Lord by living out that faith with a joy and enthusiasm. I meet very few grumpy saints. Maybe they're just not recorded. Maybe there are lots of grumpy saints, and we just don't have their writings. But I would tend not to think so, because one of the gifts of the resurrection is joy. And when we share joy in such an attractive way, other people are going to ask us, why do you believe this? How could your life be so moved by this? And then we have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, and you're not with me on that, are you? As Catholic Christians, we struggle at giving witness. Other churches actually have, like, witness classes on how to take witness, you know, give testimony, how to give witness. They practice, they role play giving witness. And I think the Catholic Church provides, like, a witness protection program. We all kind of shirk away from giving witness. And where can we hide? If we sit way in the back, maybe you won't call on us. But that's not what we're called to do, is it? We're called to talk about giving witness. Now, I would suggest that in the first reading, Peter gives witness, but he's kind of offensive. Anybody catch that? You know, the Lord of life whom you crucified, asking a murderer to be released to you instead? I'm like, Peter, I'm not really with you on this. You know, if you're trying to convince me to follow Jesus, it's not happening. But Peter was telling the truth. And he was probably deeply hurt that members of his community had crucified his best friend. And think about it. Because the next line he says is, I hold you harmless. I realized it was out of ignorance that you acted. Am I that forgiving? That you could have tortured and murdered my best friend, and I would say to you, out of ignorance, you acted. Let me tell you the truth of God's forgiveness. I'm not there yet. But that's what we read about in the lives of the saints. That's the giving testimony that Peter is talking about. That's the giving testimony that Jesus is talking about. When we witness with the very act that God does in our life, that forgiveness, then of course people will be attracted to the faith. But how quick I am to hold a grudge for decades, when most likely those high school bullies were acting out of ignorance. Am I willing to hold them harmless? No. Right? I want vengeance. But think about what would have happened if Peter wanted vengeance on Jerusalem. We'd have no gospels today, would we? The message wouldn't have taken off and spread so that 5,000 people at a time were joining the church. Because it would have been back to being ourselves, broken, vengeful. Instead, Peter plugs into something that is entirely not himself. He realizes that he cannot forgive on his own, but he can forgive because of the power of the resurrected Christ in him. That is powerful. And giving that kind of witness changes lives. Peter says, I hold you harmless. Of course, it was out of ignorance. You didn't know that this was the Lord of glory. But let me tell you, he's risen from the dead. And that makes all the difference. And everyone needs to know that forgiveness of sins is available to all. Isn't that what Jesus at the end of today's gospel commissions us to do? To preach that the repentance of sins is available and forgiveness God has won for everyone. These are powerful readings. It's interesting that when Jesus shows up, they're still terrified. Didn't the two guys that just came running back from Emmaus talk through the whole thing that happened, that Jesus is alive and walks with you and talks with you, but don't give him any bread because he disappears? You saw that in the Emmaus story, right? They recognized him in the breaking of the bread and then vanished. And so when they were looking around the room, I'm sure they had lots of nice bread, but they gave him baked fish instead because they knew the bread thing was kind of... he might just disappear, and he wanted to hold on to him a little longer. And so he eats something with them, and he still doesn't disappear. And he says, "Touch my hands, my feet." Isn't it like little children when they run up to us with their injury? "Look, I've hurt myself." But Jesus has turned that around. And he says, "Look, these were once signs of vulnerability. These were once signs of suffering. These were once signs of brokenness. But because my Father raised me from the dead, they are now signs of immortality, of glory, of triumph over sin and suffering and even death itself." This is the one who walks in our midst. But isn't that interesting? It was while the disciples who were in Emmaus had run back and were telling the story, right? When we tell the story of Jesus, when we give witness to Jesus in our life, who shows up? But Jesus himself. So as soon as you start giving testimony, be sure you have some baked fish or maybe popcorn or whatever Jesus likes, because he's going to show up in your life. But he shows up because we are talking about the witness of God's resurrected life. He shows up because we are sharing that story of new life and forgiveness of sins with others. Jesus showed up, I'm sure, and stood next to Peter as he was giving his speech after Pentecost. Jesus stood in their midst as they were telling the story of the resurrection in the upper room. It might be a little frightening, right? If Jesus shows up while we're giving testimony, I would just say, "Could you take it from here, Lord?" And he says, "No, because the living Lord is in you. The testimony you need to give is in you, and it's unique to you. That story needs to get out." Let us all be inspired by Peter, by the two running back from Emmaus to give witness that the resurrected Lord is alive and well in our midst and within each of us. And we're called to give that testimony to the world.